passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, our one podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
And we made it to Nashville. And everybody fired up for that arena right there at Bridgestone, where the SEC basketball tournament begins in hours. And somebody who's very happy not to be playing today is the SEC Coach of the Year, Lamont Paris. And Coach, it's so great to see you. I don't want to beat up on my profession, but they had you last when it all began.
They did. Paul.
And you're the coach of the year. That has to have some sense of gratification.
There is. There's no doubt about it. I'd be lying if I said that there wasn't. But we've got a really good group of guys, and we spent a lot of time vetting them out, looking in there, evaluating guys, and they were a really good fit for what we did. And so I thought we had a chance to be better than last anyway. And I think I said early that our aspiration was not to not be last. And so it worked out. But what a fun time of the year this is to be here at the SEC tournament and have a great team. And just the recognition amongst our peers is a phenomenal thing.
And you get a bye. You came within a whisker of a double bye, which is pretty extraordinary when you think about it. And I know coaches don't do it alone. Some think they do, but they don't.
Yeah.
But when you win an award like that, what goes through your mind in terms of the journey and the people around you?
Yeah, I mean, I still look at my stat line, and I think I had 0 points, 0 assists, and 0 rebounds this season so far. So, it starts with the players first and foremost, that they're willing to listen and try and play and communicate and all that kind of stuff too. But then your staff and your support systems that are around you, it's a lot of work. There's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that people don't see, and then hopefully when you do enough of that, the product turns out to be really good when you get out there. But I got an incredible staff. They're very loyal, they're very knowledgeable, and most importantly, they know me really well. And so they know when to step on the gas and when to pump the brake in certain situations. And so that's been really important key to our success. I haven't had a lot of turnover in my staff, and it's just solid people, really solid people to be around. But again, I think it starts with our players and their ability to listen, process information, and then go out there and play.
You take over a program that had dipped, but it's a proud program. It wasn't all that long ago we were talking about South Carolina in the men's Final Four. We realize women's, it's a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, absolutely, every year, right?
But when you started out, and we talked to you throughout this journey, especially a couple weeks ago after beating Kentucky, do you have something in the back of your mind? Okay, year one, year two, and how has it gone according to your
I think you do. I think you have a couple of short-term goals, some long-term things, and then some middle-of-the-road type things too. And I think the short-term stuff really involves the people that you're surrounding yourself with, whether that's your short-term staff decisions, the players, and what you want that to look like immediately. So once you achieve those goals, you got some middle-of-the-road goals too. And as you start checking the boxes on some of those, some of the long-term ones, they seem to get a little bit closer. And so we've had the kind of team that's done that. I think the culture is exactly where we want it. That was a big goal for us. But there were so many milestones, like having a winning record, right, in the regular season, having a winning record in conference play. And so once you reach those goals, you know, we had the audacity with 2 games left to have a goal of trying to win the SEC. If we had beaten Tennessee and then gone on the road in Mississippi State, you end up first in the SEC. And so it's just been a lot of fun. I think we're ahead of schedule, obviously, as to what we may have thought early. But now the challenge will be just to be able to continue.
There's so many different reasons why teams can advance. The portal plays a role. Recruiting plays probably a bigger role. How has it changed? I mean, you're still a very young coach, but this is not the same game that it was when you started.
Not at all. Not at all. I think while I'm still rooted in development was the way to get the best players. I mean, you could out-recruit guys, but you could also evaluate and develop guys. And there's so much changing in terms of roster makeup now that it's more difficult to develop. We're actually redshirting a guy this year. That's still a thing. I think development is still a big part of what we're doing, but it certainly has changed. I think identification of the kind of player that that will work for you well, and whether that be not only his makeup as an individual, but what he does on the basketball court. I think those things are probably more important than they ever have been in the game.
This year, you had just so many not breakthrough, because after the first one, we're not really saying you're breaking through anymore, but so many signature wins.
Yeah.
How does that, and the season's still got a lot to play out, but
yeah.
How does that energize, motivate, and really light a fire under everything about what you're doing?
Yeah, they kept stacking. I think you look back to, even one of the first ones, we played in a tournament out in Phoenix, and we beat a really good Grand Canyon team, very talented team. And that represented a championship. We won that tournament. I think that when you're learning and you're growing and you're establishing how to win, that those things are important. So that was one. Obviously, a home game against Kentucky signifies what you're doing when you have a team that's that talented and ranked. Then to do it on the road against a Tennessee team that's not only highly ranked, but over the past 4 years, just 5 years, does not lose in that building. So you do one, you do two, you do three, you look back, and then all of a sudden, guys' expectations change. And then now when you go on the road, they're expecting to be able to do enough right things to be in games and to win games. And I think once you get that kind of growth and they believe like that, my job's a lot easier. I sit on the sidelines and, you know, push a button or two, but once the team starts to believe and have that type of confidence, things just start to snowball.
Coach, I know the correct answer is we're here to win the SEC tournament. I get that.
Yeah.
Everybody is. Even those who really don't have any chance, which you do. But with the other tournament, the real tournament, starting next week, how do you use this week, regardless of whether you're leaving town tomorrow night or Sunday afternoon, to get ready for next week?
Yeah, I think it's a great, of course, again, we want to win the SEC tournament. There's a lot that goes with that, but I think it's a good precursor to the NCAA tournament, just in terms of there's nothing guaranteed other than the game that we play tomorrow at 2:30, right? And you must play well, you must compete well, and you must also make plays in order to advance. And if you do enough of those things and you earn another 40 minutes, then you do it all again. And so I think before going into the NCAA tournament, having a chance to practice that, I think that's incredibly important for a team, again, that's learning a lot of first things as you got so many new faces.
You mentioned the tournament in Arizona, which is a good simulation, but this is a better simulation for next week, although it's different than the regular season when you're playing Tuesday, Wednesday, or Saturday. Do you try to think routine as you're getting ready for tomorrow's game and then maybe the next game and the game after that?
Yeah, we try to be as consistent as we can. I think, you know, as part of the reason why we were 11-3 this season away from home, I think it's because we really try to replicate our routine, whether we're at home, whether we're on the road, whether it's a tournament environment or whatever it is, and that maybe allows us to dive more into what we do. But obviously it's a little different. You have quicker turnaround when you're playing back-to-back-to-back in games like this, or even in the NCAA tournament, you may have a day off in between. So there's a little bit different to that. You have to be a quick study when it comes to scouting report. And, you know, I think it's also why we build our situation in such that most of what we do is us. Most of what has to do with scouting report and our program is personnel. We go over some plays and your team has certain tendencies, but the vast majority of it, Paul Feinbaum's going to go to his left, right, when it's all said and done. I got the scouting report on me. He's going to go to his left when the play breaks down, and so I think that's really important that our guys are aware of that.
I'm glad you got the dust and the mothballs out of that scouting report.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I used to do when I could move. Coach, congratulations again. I know that will never get old, SEC Coach of the Year.
No questions. Very humbling. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate you, Paul.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And thank you very much. We'll take a short break as we begin. We're live here in Nashville.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back to Nashville on day one of the SEC men's basketball tournament. I just vaguely remember 2 years ago sitting outside in the sun in Tampa, and the talk of the tournament was our next guest. Buzz Williams joining us from Texas A&M. I was sweating
that day.
You were on literally every day. I mean, we finally had to leave. You broke the record.
We did the same last year. We've been to the championship game the last 2 years.
This
environment's a little better. It's a little cooler.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't mind being outside.
You didn't have on a tie, though.
No. Well, and this one's coming off quickly as soon as you leave. Coach, great to see you.
Good to see you.
It seems like you've been down this road before. You don't know what your fate is, but you know you have to win.
That's right. And I think that's as plainly stated as it can be. What do we have to do? Are we in? I've just tried to stay away from all of it over the last few weeks. I think the best thing to do is just keep playing, and in order to keep playing, we need to win.
I know you can't keep young people away from it all, because that's part of it. I mean, it's what everybody's talking about, which is fine. That's what March Madness means, but how do you separate the speculation from the reality of, okay, this is who we're playing, and this is what we have to do?
Yeah, I think our guys have been really good, partly because of their character, partly because of their maturity, and in truth, because they've been through it before. So I think we have experience of being in this exact position. As you mentioned, when we played in Tampa, we were 9-9. We had a really poor non-conference schedule, and played 4 games in 4 days and lost in the championship game. Last year we were 15-3 in regular season in the SEC. We knew we were in, and then played 3 games to get to the championship game. This year we played among the top 20 toughest non-conference schedules. So does the committee reward playing all of those quad one games? It's too difficult to tell. But we play tomorrow. We need to win tomorrow. Does that move the needle? How much? What's next? Who else is playing? So many things you can't control, but hopefully you can control your own group and being better than we were in the regular season, which is required to keep playing this season.
Coach, as you reflect back on the season, and I know it's maybe a little bit early for too much self-analysis, but it's never early to think about what this journey has been like. How would you describe it?
I'm very grateful because there's been multiple times, in my opinion, where our guys could have said, that's enough. This is too hard. This is too much. It's more than we bargained for. But they've had great resolve. They've had great resiliency. And I think that speaks to who they are, which speaks to who their parents are and how they've been raised.
We've had a lot of fun talking to you over the years because you have that personality. But I realize you're also a great basketball coach. I mean, how do the two intermingle? Because you are, I've never been one of your players, but I've always had fun talking to you. But what are the guys on the court thinking?
I hope they would say the same thing about me. I pretty much am the same person to you that I am to them.
Right.
Sometimes they hear maybe a little different vocabulary than what's allowed on the SEC network.
Thank you.
But I think that they know who I am. I think that they know that my love is not based on their performance. They know that I care about them. And I also think that in this model of college athletics, I think it has to come down to trust. And they have to know that they trust you not only to become a better player, but that they trust you to become a better person. And I think their sphere of influence Parents still want their sons to be around good people. And that's not just me. That's the people that are on our staff. And that's also their teammates. And I think that our staff has done a great job identifying the right talent, but also the right character. And I'm not saying we go about things the right way, but I do think the longevity of our time, whether we've been at Texas A&M or the other places we've been, hopefully that there's evidence that we try to do right, and the experience makes them better people and better players.
We're chatting with Buzz Williams. You mentioned character. I just got a chance to meet your family.
Thank you.
So much is made out of the secondary aspect of being a coach, but you're a son and a daughter and a wife, I mean, they hear all the things you probably want them to hear when things are good, but don't want them to hear. How does that part enter?
Well, all of the children in our program, no matter where we've lived, have always had all access. They can come to any practice. They can go on any trip. Any wife can go on any trip. Sometimes that's a little costly. My oldest daughter is finishing college at James Madison. My youngest son is a senior in high school, and he's on his senior trip. That's actually Mason is 18, so this is the first conference tournament he hasn't been to. So you met my oldest son and youngest daughter, and they've seen all of it. They know all of the players. They know all of the parents. And I think that that's also a good example for our players to see families, not just mine, but all of our assistants are here. And I think everybody says family, but family is an acronym for forget about me, I love you. And I think when they can see true love, not just in words, but in action, I think that impacts their heart. And hopefully long-term, it helps them as fathers and husbands.
That would seem to be a big cornerstone in recruiting. However, recruiting isn't what it used to be.
No, sir, it's not the same.
You've been at some really great jobs at Marquette and at Tech and, yep, and here and many places as an assistant. You're still in the midst of your career, but what are your thoughts on everything that has happened?
I have a lot of thoughts. I've tried to be measured in my words. I don't want to be emotional in a response, but it is different, and I don't think anybody knows where it's going. And so I think you have to make a decision on relative to the new ways of operating as a leader, not just as a coach, but as a leader, what things are you not going to sacrifice? And what things are you going to have as cornerstones, not only in your program on the court, but off the court? And then are you willing to lose your career if you're not going to sacrifice those things? And I just finished my 17th year as a head coach, and I'm kind of at the point where, as you said, I'm not old, but I'm not young. But I am pretty convicted about what I think matters the most in life. Does that mean we're going to get the best players? No. We do not have the best players today, and I'm also not the best coach today. And I don't want my identity to be exclusive to the job that I have, whether it's at Texas A&M or whether it's as a coach. But I do hope that my character and my work ethic matters, and I hope that it matters long-term, long after I'm a coach and long after they can play. And so I think what I'm drawn to are people that understand my language. And my language is best on people that things have not always worked out the best, and they've had to overcome. And that's the position as we enter week 28 of this basketball season. Who are we, and what can we overcome? And so in many respects, when we were 6-4, I think that we had a lot more support than we had when we were 6-9. But to the people on Team Bus One, to win the last three in a row, to finish 9-9, to even be in this conversation, I think that speaks to character, in my opinion. I think that speaks to work ethic, and I think that that speaks to the ability to overcome. And so, in truth, I understand it's a neutral site. I understand it's the SEC tournament. There's more exposure. But the aspect of overcoming, Paul, it's the story of my life, and it's actually the story of most of our assistants and most of our players.
And I don't know everything about your life, but I do know the beginning wasn't easy. and having been around you enough times, when you think back, And again, not this is a sport that has a lot of amazing stories, but I've always found yours to be so unique.
Thank you.
And I don't know how, I mean, I know you've talked about it, but I mean, how do you think, as you reflect back now at this point, how did you overcome some of the things?
Yeah, I think I had a lot of people helping me. People that helped me when they didn't have to help me. People who helped me when they didn't know that it was going to become this. And I think the one thing, as I probably am closer to the end than I am at the beginning, I hope that I can be that for others. People that were helping me as a junior college manager, people that were helping me as an NAIA manager, when they didn't even know who I was. And despite all of the exposure and all of the notoriety and all of the good things that come from this, can I still help people when there's not anything in it for me? Because there have been so many people, coaches and otherwise, that have taught me, been willing to support me, provide wisdom that they had no reason other than to give. And so I hope part of who I am is someone that'll give and somebody that'll help.
I mean, I realize we're 4 days removed from the Oscars, and I'm not trying to turn this into a moment, but was there a moment that it could have gone either way? And
oh, for sure. Paul, I'm not supposed to be the coach at Texas A&M. I was hoping to be a high school coach, and then I went to junior college, and the court is named after my junior college coach. He's in the Junior College Hall of Fame, and I was just wondering if someday I could be his assistant. And now coach is, he'll be 87 tomorrow, and he's been with us all 17 years that I've been a head coach. And so Coach Orr is just one of those people, but there's been people along the path that, not because of me, I think there's a higher power that's kind of placed people that at that moment in time have been mentors to me, and I still have them, and I'm 51 now. And now I'm trying to see if I can return the favor.
It's how do you do that? Because you have a lot on your plate.
I do.
It's not like you and everyone, I'm sure, as you're working your way through, say, give me a call if I can help, and then
yep.
You look down and you're in the middle. How do you pay it forward?
Yeah, I think people that want to be helped don't necessarily want something from you other than to learn. And I think that's one thing throughout my time. I never tried to ask to be on the Paul Feinbaum Show, but along the way, if I don't have to ask, but it's an opportunity to learn, then I actually want to help those people more. And so that's the way I've always tried to do it with all of the fired coaches, with all of the retired coaches. I don't want anything from you. I don't want your name on my resume. I don't need you to make a call for me. I just want to learn, because I think knowledge is currency. Wisdom is currency. And I think those currencies, character is currency. And over time, if you can hang in there long enough, I think those things will pay dividends. And I think they're compound dividends. So there were multiple times when it could have went south. And in truth, if I was the coach at Trevecca Nazarene, I would have overcame a lot here in Nashville. That I'm the coach at Texas A&M, I just feel very grateful, and I'm humbled by it. And because of all of that, I just want to keep my ego out of the way and try to help others, because so many people have helped me.
How do you do that, though? How do you keep your ego out of when you are the
I don't
therapy?
Look at my phone. I don't look at social media. I don't watch your show.
Good.
I don't watch the SEC network.
You should
and
never
if I
watch
do,
your...
I just turn the volume down I don't hear Tom Hart, so I don't hear Jimmy Dykes, so I don't hear we're on the bubble, we shouldn't be on the bubble, we're in. Joe Lunardi said this. It just makes me anxious, and so I just try to stay away from all of it.
But I have had countless coaches say, I don't read, I don't.
I read a lot. I read a book every week and have for years. I read a lot.
But you try not to
read. But I don't read opinions. I just read things that I can try to gather information and learn and wisdom. But the up to the minute, what's happening, what's the net, I stay away from it.
You know your family can't avoid it.
They know way more than I do.
I mean, I'll say
but they
this,
don't ask me.
Because I just met your wife.
She knows all
of
it.
In my career.
We could put her up here. She could tell you.
Next time we will. But I have had more problems with wives and children than the coaches.
Yeah.
And it's usually distorted.
It is distorted because their wives and coaches are their wives and children, and they care about their dad and their husband.
Right.
I think my wife, Corey, just does a fabulous job of kind of keeping it at arm's distance and trying to keep me in the lane that I need to be
well,
in.
When we get to College Station, which will be pretty quickly in the football season.
I'll be there.
Can we? But
she'll be on.
Yeah, we'll do a segment with
her. It'll be her first ever exposure.
Yeah.
On the SEC network.
Book
She'll
it.
Do a good job.
Book it right now. I'll give you the exact date after, as soon as he quits talking.
It's good to see you.
Coach, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much
it's
for being
so much
nice
fun.
To me.
We love you.
Appreciate it.
No matter what the record is. Well, we like you better when we're...
Texas A&M fans like it better when we win more.
Well, they love you, and they should. We'll take a short break. Thanks to Buzz for being here. Buzz Williams, we'll a lot more to do. Stick around.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're getting ready for the first round of the SEC tournament, and we're joined by Coach Matt McMahon, the second year at LSU. Coach, it's great to see you. You know all about tournaments at Murray. You had quite a nice run there, getting into the Big Dance a number of times and advancing. Not that past experience as a head coach, you've had the same experience as an assistant. How do you get ready for something like this?
Oh, I think it's the best time of the year. Obviously, you want your players prepared to play with great toughness and discipline, but I think you got to get them to a mindset to be really loose and confident, come out here and play with a lot of freedom tomorrow afternoon.
I mean, everybody comes here, obviously, with one goal, and certainly for LSU, it would be an amazing run. It's happened, fortunately or unfortunately, maybe unfortunately, you face a team that is desperate. I mean, not that you guys don't want to win, but does that even matter? That's what pundits talk about, but what about his coaching?
I think it's more so about us. I mean, the reality is we played them 3 weeks ago, and Mississippi State really outplayed us for the final 20 minutes of the game. They're so physical on the defensive side of the ball. And then Hubbard is playing as well as any guard in the country, Paul. He's almost 30 a game over his last five. And so they present a lot of problems there. So I think it's more about what do we have to get done to give ourselves an opportunity to win tomorrow. And that certainly involves playing a lot better than we did in the first matchup.
Certainly, there's improvement. And coaches view things differently than fans and pundits. Being 500 in the SEC isn't bad. I mean, there was a time when we had divisional play that might have won you one of the two divisions. Here, you're still fighting and clawing, trying to get some notice.
Well, as we said after the game on Saturday, we don't celebrate being 9-9. But when you look where we were at as a program less than 2 years ago, it's great progress for us, finishing the top half of the SEC standings. Really proud of our players. We went 5-2 in the last month of the season to get to this point. And obviously huge congratulations to Coach Paris at South Carolina. But of the Power Six leagues, they had the biggest improvement in league play. And us at LSU, we were second in the country there. So pleased with the progress. It certainly allows us to have a foundation in place moving forward.
The easiest thing, I think we call it low-hanging fruit, is to criticize the media when you go back to media days in terms of their predictions. They were wrong about South Carolina. They were wrong about LSU. What did we all miss back in October?
Well, I think we just got better as the season went on. I think even in November, December, the predictions looked right, to be honest with you, Paul. But I think all that credit goes to our players. There's been some ups and downs. We've lost players to injuries, suspension, and so forth. But they've just stayed the course, stayed committed to getting better. You know, we lost our three games by one possession, three heartbreakers. And I think a team with lesser character, less toughness could have folded. We went on to win our next three games by a single point. And so I think that's all about our players and their commitment to getting better and finding ways to win. And so hopefully some of those lessons we've learned along the way will shine through tomorrow.
Coach, it's always difficult when you take over a program that's mired in controversy. Scandal is a charitable word for what you inherited when you got down there. From day one, you knew it would be difficult. How do you approach something when you know that progress will be in very small baby steps?
Well, I think try to see the big picture, which is hard in today's climate of college athletics. When my family and I were blessed with this opportunity to come to LSU, it was the best long-term opportunity available. The greatest brand in all the college sports to me. You see the success of all the other sports. You represent an entire state at LSU as the only Power Five there. And so it was just about trying to stay the course and use all those great cliches of trusting the process and so on and so forth, just to keep getting better. We just had our first true recruiting class where we were able to add some experience in the portal and get older, and then sign two top 50 players in the country this past fall, and look forward to building on that this spring.
You mentioned the past, and I mean, certainly people know LSU basketball for a handful of things. I think it probably starts with Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, he's omnipresent everywhere, but I said something to you as you walked up here about somebody that's very important to me, and he told me recently how important you were to him, and that's really the father of LSU basketball. I know people talk about Pete Maravich, and we all know where his name is, but Dale Brown really put this program on the map.
He's been incredibly gracious and kind to me, very welcoming, very encouraging for me through some challenging times here, but well over 400 wins, Hall of Fame coach, just the best of the best. And you know, a lot of people don't realize, you know, three of the NBA's top 75 players of all time are from LSU. So there's great tradition, great history. Coach Brady, who led us to the 2006 Final Four, he's been really good to me as well. So it's a special place, and we're excited to keep building.
It's fascinating because every different SEC team has moments. I remember a couple of years ago, one of the teams I was covering had gotten to its first Elite Eight. A lot of schools are trying to get to a Final Four, but when you think about that, that's pretty remarkable. I remember Coach Brown's Final Four. I mean, he was always the master of the SEC tournament. There was one year I remember, I think we were in Atlanta, Coach. He didn't sleep the entire week. The LSU came from the first day and got to the finals and got to the tournament, and it was just always, and you know, there were a few other ones with Shaquille that are still being shown on replays. But how much do you have to lean on tradition versus today and what you have when you're out recruiting?
Well, I think the brand sells itself. The SEC, you know, you're talking about a league with 16 more draft picks than any other conference in the country over the last 4 years, twice as many lottery picks as any other league. The style of play is very similar to the NBA. So it's a great opportunity to recruit the best players in the world to come to LSU. And, you know, I'm really proud of the players that have joined us. You know, they chose to come in during a challenging time to help us rebuild the foundation of the program. And so excited about where we're at. Certainly a lot more work to get done.
Coach, finally, we talked about the circumstances, but it was also an opportunity for you. You were at a really great basketball school, but you wanted to take another leap. But when things were at the lowest, and I know everyone leans on certain aspects or people or faith, I mean, how did you get through some pretty dark days early on?
I think that's the fun part of coaching. Is when you're 31-3, everybody's your best friend, and it's really pretty easy to coach. When you're struggling and you find out who's really there in your corner, who's supporting you, who's helping you navigate some of those tough times. Those are the people you remember when you see success on down the road. So, you know, you mentioned guys like Coach Dale Brown and Coach Prohm at Murray State, who's been a great mentor to me. My college coaches, Buzz Peterson, Houston Fancher, and of course my family. And then, you know, I've met some great people. We've met unbelievable people in Baton Rouge. It's a special place, and we're really thankful and blessed to be there.
Well, Coach, we're appreciative, so appreciative of you coming by. All the best tomorrow. You have the first game on Thursday, and we can't wait.
All right, Paul. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Coach Matt McMahon, joining us from LSU as the SEC basketball tournament is about to start.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. We are live at the tournament. We don't have a lot of time for calls today, but we will try to squeeze a few in. So why don't we check in with Will in North Carolina. Hey, Will.
Paul, the last few weeks, I want to talk the Lady Gamecocks. They've looked a little bit touchable, but do you think they finish out the regular season undefeated? And now's not the time to lose, but are they going to finish out the regular season and win the championship? What do you think, Gamecocks girls?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, their season's over until the tournament. So, you know, they. Right. I think they're in great shape. Well, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. Michael is up next. They'll be the number one seed next week, and I think they're going to win it all. Thank you for the call. Michael is up next.
Hello.
Hey, Michael. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I was trying to get a hold of you for quite a few weeks, but I haven't gotten through with you. But I'm so glad to be talking with you.
Thanks so much.
I love the Kentucky Wildcats because whenever I moved from Vegas to Kentucky, it was when I was 16 years old, I enjoyed watching them. And so every game that I watch, it's wonderful. And Coach Cal sometimes is a wonderful coach, but sometimes he isn't. But I just wanted to rephrase that he is here to stay for as long as he can, and that he really is, he really enjoys all his time with the Kentucky Wildcats.
Michael, thank you for the call. It's remarkable how resilient he is, and the fact that Kentucky is where they are today after 6-8 weeks ago, all the bumps that they had, it is a credit to him. Thank you for the call. Bash in Colorado is up next.
Bash, Brother Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Bash.
Great to have you in Nashville, Tennessee, or as I like to refer it as Bashville, Tennessee, but that's another story for another time. I'll tell you about later. Right now, Paul, who do you have as the favorite to win in the SEC tournament between Tennessee, Alabama, Auburn, and Kentucky?
You know, I think Auburn might be a sneaky team here, Bash. They're playing really well, and I think they have something to prove. Hey, thank you for the call. Jace is up next in Georgia. Hey, Jace.
Hey, Paul, I just wanted to address Jim yesterday. Evidently, he told me I was going to hell.
He did.
After he called.
And by the way, Jace, he apparently is the final authority on that.
Well, you know what? If he calls back in, tell him I leave a light on for him.
Well, yeah, it is nice to kind of get away from all that today. It took a plane ride and a lot more, but yeah, he's the final arbiter. We all know that. We're just all subjects down here while he sits at the pearly gates making the call.
Exactly. You know, he's not one to judge anybody else, but
no, Paul, judge great, not.
Yeah, have a great time at the SEC tournament, and I know my dogs ain't gonna do much, so I'm waiting on football season.
I don't blame you. Hey, thank you so much for the call. We have a lot right. to do here.
Thanks,
as we get ready for the next couple of hours in Nashville. We'll talk about a number of things. We've already had a couple of coaches on, many more to come, including Chris Beard, the coach at Ole Miss. He'll join us next. Chris Jans, the head coach at Mississippi State, will join us next.
Thank you for listening to the best of the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. Watch the Paul Feinbaum Show weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on the SEC Network. Plus, you can listen and watch on the ESPN app.